Who do I own and why? Let's walk through a review of my first draft, why I'm even doing this league, and what it may mean in this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, recording this on August 27th at roughly 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. My email is always available for you to ask your fantasy questions, especially this time of year. Once we get into game days on Sunday mornings before 1 o'clock or before 4 o'clock, I'm not available. But right now I am. Email me since it's not urgent. Granted, don't email me 3 minutes before you're on the clock in the first round of your fantasy draft and ask me for help. I don't know if I'll see the email that quickly, but use it. I'll write you back. Write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. And I would love, did this in the last fantasy draft. I'm challenging at least three of you to send me the results of one of your drafts. And at a minimum, it can just be who you picked in what order. Tell me how many teams, standard, half point PPR, or full point PPR, and where you picked in the first round and snake or linear. That's the basics. You can send me the whole rundown if you want of your entire league, but I need to know the draft order. Right. And I need to know how many teams are in your league. And if you're playing standard like me, the hedge, half point PPR, or outdated 20th century fantasy football, full point PPR. Thanks to Hooters for their continued presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. For locations, hours, easy online ordering in the greater Tampa Bay area, / West Central Florida, if you will, go to originalhooters.com. So I was on the end this year of an emergency call. It was from a great friend who plays in one of my established leagues. He's in the foundation. He's a former league champion. He beat his wife in the finals of our league 1 year. I have a great photo of him holding the trophy, the Jimmy McGinty, while his wife has both of her hands around his neck. Not Jimmy McGinty's neck, her husband's neck. I'm very proud of the photo. They are great people. So he runs a fun league for some friends and employees in the golf business. And this isn't their first year doing this, and it's just for fun, kind of a unique format. I've known about it, and he just reached out to me and said, hey, we had someone drop out. Can you take over the team? Can you draft? We need another player. I said, sure, I'll be happy to help, because I've needed people to do something like this for me for years. Heck, I've been planning my drafts now for over a month. I'm sure something's going to come up with somebody or something, some fire I got to put out, some last minute. We all do the best we can. There's only so much we can do to hold people accountable for their commitment to draft and be there to draft. Draft with integrity, with intelligence, be ready to go. So I helped out. So this league, it's wild. Two quarterback league, only six teams. So that's about right. You can get away with a two quarterback league, I think, with eight. Once you get to 10, yeesh, with the bye weeks and things. Yeah, but with six, okay. It's six teams. So there's always people on waivers. And it's high scoring. Teams are pretty stacked. You play two quarterbacks, two running backs, two wide receivers, two tight ends. There are two flex positions, either two or four flex positions. I think there are two positions where you can flex a running back and two positions where you can flex a tight end and you can flex a wide receiver, I think, at all four. Yeah, I know, it's wild. And then two kickers. Yes, two kicker. It's a two kicker league. The guy who runs it was a kicker in high school. Even one week, he was player of the week in a 3-0 win. It's a good story. I'll save it. So now that you know all that, here's all that it gives us for talking points. These are people I drafted. So if I drafted them, why? There are players I avoided. I told you weeks ago here on the podcast, like a theme park, blockout dates, blockout teams for me. New England, Cleveland, New Orleans. Teams I don't anticipate taking anybody. I don't think I did in this draft. But let's review who I took and why. Because even in a league where I'm just an emergency owner, I'll play with integrity. There's no money on the line. I don't play in any leagues with money on the line. I've never charged an entry fee in any of my leagues. But there's pretty much a rule with me in fantasy. If I would own you in one league, I'd own you in any league. And if I'm not going to own you in one league, I'm not going to own you in any of my leagues. I had the third pick in the first round, and I took Bijan Robinson. I don't think I need to explain myself there. He's not someone, I don't think getting Robinson at, I'll just go ahead and say this, because in my other leagues, we get to choose our draft order. This was, I just walked into it. So it's like, yeah, where do I pick? I don't think picking 1, 2, 3, or even 4 appeals to me right now in fantasy drafts, because you feel like you're kind of stuck. And I like what Matthew Berry says on his fantasy football happy hour on Peacock. And he'll say some of this stuff once we start getting action on NBC. If there's a guy you want there, go ahead and take him, because he's probably, if he's a big name, he's not going to be available to you when you wrap around, you know, unless it's in 3 picks or maybe in 5 picks. But I didn't do that here. It was like, okay, I'll just take Robinson and then we'll see what happens. With the 10th overall pick, I took Nico. Ironically, this was the guy who Matthew Berry said was the runner-up for ride or die. And one of his caveats is, you know, he's too highly thought of. But still, if you feel he's going to produce like I do, and clearly Matthew does, and to start the season, who else does Stroud have to throw to at the wide receiver position, and he doesn't have Joe Mixon to hand the ball to? You know, and Nico's right on that cusp of, there are some who already believe, and I have 1 foot in this camp, that Nico Collins is already one of the top wide receivers in the NFL. I have 1 foot in that camp. I would like to see this year make me put 2 feet in there. I just want to see a little more until I make a timeshare agreement. Is that fair? Because Nico was a pick in the 2021 National Football League draft. He's missed some games due to injury, but man, he's good. So I took him. I already have Robinson. I'll go ahead and take Collins, and I took him with pick number 10. McCaffrey was still sitting there at pick 15. I took him. So this is something that Jay Croucher, who I think is terrific, also part of that Matthew Berry Fantasy Football Happy Hour show on Peacock, talks a lot about that. Look, it's either one way or another with McCaffrey. When you look at recent seasons, whether it's in Carolina or it's in San Francisco, he either plays the whole season and puts up huge numbers, or he gets injured and he's going to fail you. Jay keeps saying, everything we have to go on, wink, wink, says he's healthy. So why wouldn't you take him? Well, we were duped, that's why. I don't imagine many of you who took him last year are going to touch this. And I don't blame you. It's scar tissue. I can relate with other players last year or in previous years. I get it. So for me, and also I already have Robinson, so I'm not even drafting McCaffrey as my RB1. So I've got a couple of guys here who can run and catch, who are going to be on the field a lot, with presumably good quarterbacks. We haven't seen a lot of Penix. So I took McCaffrey with the 15th pick. 15th. To me, the value was too good. And if my cynicism is, if they were that worried last year that he was going to rupture his Achilles, what happens if he feels anything this year? Could they go down that road again since he didn't rupture it, which is a good thing? But from what I know from people who have done research on this, or God help you, experienced it, it's scary. But I took him at pick 15. Because this is a not only tight end mandatory league, but you have to play two tight ends every week, I went ahead and took Brock Bowers, who better not be stamping autographs on cards. I am a collector. There is some talk in one of the groups I'm in on social media that Brock Bowers, or someone representing Brock Bowers, stamps his autograph on cards and sends them back to people. I hope that's not true. Brock Bowers, as we've discussed here, is a tight end who, in a rookie season, put up wide receiver one numbers. And now you got Jacoby Myers saying he doesn't want to be with the Raiders, and that leads you to believe Bowers will be as involved as he was, even though we have a new quarterback, we have a new running back, we have a new offensive coordinator, we have a new head coach, and he will have more defensive attention. And then I went ahead at pick 27. I'm so anti-tight end, and here I am in a two mandatory tight end, and I went ahead and took Kittle at 27. I'm like, let me just get this over with. Because, right, part of the reason in my leagues I eliminated the mandatory tight end 10 years ago was because I don't want to waste time weekly looking on the waiver wire for some plug-and-play guy who I'm hoping catches 2-3 balls or is in a jumbo package on the goal line and may get me a touchdown off a play action. I don't want to waste time with those names. So in this league, I got two guys who, as long as they're healthy, presumably they put up basically wide receiver one / wide receiver two numbers pretty consistently. And they're both on teams that have kind of very little going for them at the wide receiver position. My sixth player selected, pick 34, was Omarion Hampton. There's Matthew Berry's ride or die. We now know Alt is flipping to left tackle with the Chargers. I went with Hampton here based on what wasn't available at the wide receiver position. I couldn't make a case to take my wide receiver 2 at pick 34, that Hampton was a better RB3 in this case, at pick 34. The Greg Roman numbers, the Harbaugh philosophy, moving alt to left tackle, the fact that I don't believe in Justin Herbert, Hampton's draft capital. Now, we hear Najee Harris will be on the active roster to start week one. And I think Harris has the longest stretch of games of any running back that he's played consecutively in the NFL. Impressive. He's going to keep that going. At least that's the plan. But I took Hampton as an RB3 with pick 34 in round 6. So in round 7, freshly paid, I took Terry McLaurin. I think, so he's my wide receiver 2 in a league with only 6 teams. That feels a little light, but when it really counted, where did Jaden go when he needed to make big throws, when he needed to put points on the board? He went to McLaurin, and McLaurin did. Washington did the right thing here. If you play hardball with him and he sits out or he ends up on another team, it's going to send the wrong message about the new Washington organization. They had to do this. It was smart by Terry to leverage the way he did. So I went ahead and took him, got him at pick 39 in round 7 as my wide receiver 2. Because I already have, who'd I take as, with Nico Collins. Both guys who are kind of, you know, wide receiver 1s. That's what you want in your wide receiver 2, right? You want him to be a wide receiver 1 on his own team. You'd love to have that with your wide receiver 3 and even 4 if you can get that luxury. I was the last, I think, to take a quarterback, and you got to play 2 of them. So since I didn't take any of the elite guys, that's kind of where I'm leaning this year for the leagues I run, that I'm not going to spend the draft capital on one of the elite quarterbacks. I don't think I'm going to be able to pull off what I did last year, getting Jaden Daniels in the 9th or 10th round. And I'm not only specific to Daniels, but to get a guy like that, that puts up those numbers. So I took Nix in round 8, pick 46. And for those saying Nix, pick 46, remember this is a 2 quarterback league. So quarterbacks are going off the board a little earlier. A lot to like about Bo Nix. What I'm worried about, Nix in year 2. Just like I worry about Daniels in year 2, what happened to Stroud in year 2, it happens. Once opposing defenses have a lot of tape on you, how do you evolve? Can you play faster? What else you got? Defenses kind of know your tendencies. They may know some of your play checks and other things. How can you continue to stay ahead of the defense? Took Xavier Worthy as my wide receiver. Is that my wide receiver 4 or is my wide receiver 3? He's my wide receiver 3, and I got him in round 9 with pick 51. Remember that ESPN draft when Mike Clay took Xavier Worthy? I was kind of maybe on Worthy, but when Mike Clay took him where he did, I'm like, okay, that validates. I can own Xavier Worthy this year, especially now that we know Rashee Rice is going to be out at the time of this broadcast, the first 6 games of the season. That puts Worthy in a very good spot. Kenneth Walker was still there. And I'll say round 10, but it was pick 58. So that does feel low based on some of the ADPs we've done. I don't plan to own Ken Walker in any other league, but he fell too far. I already have starting running backs, but I can flex them in this particular league. But that was one of those where, all right, let's take him because he's sitting there. And what if I'm wrong on him? And Walker can – I used to like Ken Walker. And then it was just like he didn't play enough. He doesn't the numbers just weren't backing up some things. And then I'd see Charbonnet get in there and love what Charbonnet did. I still think, and I think Seattle's got some things going for them. Once they figure out kind of who are the right people and what they need to do, especially if the Niners struggle and Stafford isn't healthy for the Rams, things could break right for Seattle in the NFC West. They could. But the value on Walker was too good at pick 58. Yeah, because I already had three running backs, right? Hampton was my RB3, I believe. Yes. So the value was too good. As an RB4? Yeah, as an RB4, okay. It's kind of a hedge. What if I'm wrong on Kenneth Walker? The Seahawks are good. Walker stays healthy. Charbonnet doesn't play much. And Walker cranks out solid numbers. 2022 is a rookie. 228 carries, 1,050 yards, 9 touchdowns. And then the dips the last couple of years. DeAndre Swift, I took with pick 63. First running back up in a Ben Johnson offense that produced a lot of numbers for Jahmyr Gibbs and maintained that consistent 1,100-yard streak and a lot of goal-to-go touches for David Montgomery. So DeAndre Swift is in a terrific situation, and I felt the value was too good to pass on him there. Then, so we start to get in some fun picks here. I'll try to move this along. I took Calvin Ridley at pick 70. Again, the Titans don't really have anyone else pre-flop here. Funny, they took in the fourth round a wide receiver from Florida who already looks the part of another failed University of Florida draft pick. Ridley got a lot of looks downfield last year and now has Cam Ward and doing more research. Thank you, Mike Clay. The Titans off the... Okay, I think the Titans actually will be competitive. I think they can finish second in the AFC South. Some of you say, well, that's not saying much. Others that might get your attention. I think Cam Ward's going to have them in games. For a presumed bad team, their offensive line, at least their healthy guys up front, could play really well. And that may allow Cam Ward to get the ball downfield to Ridley, who does score. You know I like guys who score. I took Travis Hunter with pick 75. Don't feel I need to explain that. It's not risky. It's around the position Mike Clay took him in the ESPN televised fantasy football draft. I assume I get all the bonus points if he scores doing anything else other than playing on offense. So, yeah, nice guy to have in case it hits. Then I did take my second quarterback in round 14. Again, six-team league, two-quarterback league. Pick 82, I took Brock Purdy. I passed on people like Prescott, Goff, I'm trying to think who else was sitting there that I was just like, no, no, no. Just take Purdy. Purdy takes shots down the field. He's in a Kyle Shanahan offense. He's been in a Kyle Shanahan offense for a while. If the downfield shot isn't there, he can dump it out of the backfield to McCaffrey. He can hit the mid-range to George Kittle. We've seen it work. So he's my QB too. Then I went Zay Flowers again, just based on value. The guy gets in the end zone. He catches balls down the field, often on third down that move the chains. Lamar and him seem to have a good thing. It's not great. I don't believe Zay Flowers is anywhere near, say, a Nico Collins or will ever be there. But he's a young player. He can still get better. He's pretty good as he is. So I felt that value was pretty good. Then again, playing the Ben Johnson card, I took his rookie tight end as my one backup tight end for now in the 16th round in a two tight end league, Colston Loveland. And rookie tight ends can make a big splash in the NFL and have in recent years. I then took another quarterback since I got to play two, and I'm going to need to rotate quarterbacks through bye weeks and maybe injuries. Justin Fields, we know he's going to get yards on the ground, and the ball may be in his hands with game flow. Coming from behind, throw it downfield to Garrett Wilson, run it a bit. So Justin Fields is my QB3. Then I went ahead and took Stroud as my QB4 again, because it's a two quarterback league and there are quarterbacks available on waivers, but it's like, okay, I have Nico Collins. What if Stroud really goes forward with a healthy Nico Collins this year? What if those guys are just playing pitch and catch all year? And again, Stroud doesn't have Mixon to hand off to start the season. You know, Stroud was going as high as what, QB3 last year in drafts? I wasn't part of that. But should he be going after all these other quarterbacks in a two quarterback league? He's better than that. The Texans are better than that. Despite what appears to be an offensive line that has question marks. The Texans put this together. They either believe in it or they're making the best of it for now. Or they feel they can deal with it for 1 year. Because it starts the year as one of the five worst offensive lines in the NFL. That's a concern. Now we're getting near my last four picks, so we're scratching some lottery tickets. I went Jordan Mason in round 19 with pick 111. He could win that job, right? He could be the Vikings RB1 this year. Maybe not opening day. I don't know when, but at some point it feels like he could be playing a lot. And whether he's starting or whatever, that Kevin O'Connell's going to be like, yeah, let's get the ball in his hands. You need two kickers, so I went kicker, round 20, round 21. Some other kickers had gone. I went Butker. And then I really wanted to take Cam Little, but I can't ignore Brandon McManus. McManus and Green Bay, you know, short of McManus not being in the mile-high atmosphere anymore, I think McManus is one of the more undervalued kickers in the NFL. He's on a LaFleur team. LaFleur averages over 11 wins per year. You know they're going to score. It's not like LaFleur does the Dan Campbell, Dan Quinn thing. Yeah, it's fourth and seven at the 20. Yeah, nah, no field goal. We're going to go for it. No, he'll send McManus out and take the 3 points. And then my last pick, my $2 scratch-off ticket in round 22, pick 130, and there were a lot of other running backs with better ADP, but I wanted Ollie Gordon, and I believe in Ollie Gordon. I do not believe in the Miami Dolphins, nor Coach Kuhl, but I believe, and always have believed, Ollie Gordon knows how to play football and knows how to play running back since his days as a high schooler in Fort Worth. There you go. So some ideas of what I did in a fun league. Leave it there. Send me your draft results, other questions, write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. By the time I do more podcasts, we may do a podcast on lottery tickets as the next one before I have some another draft, one of my drafts to review with you and talk about what everybody did and some cool people that are in one of my leagues this year if it all works out. But that's this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters. Thank you very much for listening. Good luck in your drafts. Stay in touch via email at write.todd@yahoo.com.